Hello, everybody, and welcome to I'm Batman, the podcast. I am your host, Captain Marvelous, and not a robot duplicate. As for my co-host, Candy, she's fine. Welcome to the 40th episode of I'm Batman, the podcast, the show where I chronologically review each and every episode of the 1992 Batman the Animated Series. Let's get to it. This episode is titled Heart of Steel Part 2, original air date November 17th, 1992. The title card is again a picture of Hardak as we saw from last week, as this is a continuation of the story from last week. We start off with a recap of last episode. We get a long replay of Bruce being a macho pig with Randa, Gordon getting kidnapped by his robot duplicate, and Batman being ambushed and hoisted into the air by the weird robot arms from the Batcave, which is where we ended the episode last week. Batman is way up in the air being held by the robot arms. Batman gets himself loose by doing acrobatics and then removing some cables from the arms. Batman then gently lands, so I guess he was never in any real danger to begin with. Batman notices that another computer is uplinked to his Batcomputer, and it's Hardak. Hardak shuts off the signal before Batman can trace it, though. Batman asks Alfred if Randa was down in the basement, but Alfred can't remember, and Batman wants to search the house.
We'd better search the house.
Search for what, Master Bruce?
Anything unusual. She may have left a clue I can use. She's only human.
Oh, Batman. Yes, she is only human. Just like me. A normal, non-robot duplicate human. We cut to the GCPD where Gordon is talking to Hardak when Barbara walks in. She asks who he's talking to and he tells her to leave him alone. Of course, being a girl, she gets all offended and takes it personally. Jeez, such a woman thing to do. That's why cold, unemotional robots are the way to go. Not that I would know, since I am a human being. She leaves and bumps into Bullock. Gordon wants Bullock to go to the lab where Carl Rossum works, which is called Cybertron. Hey, just like the Transformers' home planet. Carl Rossum was the guy who invented Hardak, the machine that's making robot duplicates, just in case you missed last week's episode. Gordon calls Bruce and tells him he knows who stole his data, and he wants to meet at the Gotham Club. Bruce thanks Gordon, but gets hung up on. So, ha! How do you like that, Bruce? You don't like it very much when people just leave you mid-sentence, don't you? Back at Cybertron, Rossum wants to know why the robot duplicates are being made without his authorization. And then Rossum says that he was stupid for creating the robots.
I've let this go too far. I gave you too much free will. It's time to change your programming.
Yes, because when you have a machine that thinks like a human but doesn't have a conscience or any of the emotions to stop it from killing you, then saying that you plan to shut it down out loud won't cause any problems at all. Hardak shoots a laser and holy crap, he set Rossum on fire. Though I guess it's one of those fires that doesn't burn you because Rossum just actually gets knocked out. Randa shows up and Hardak tells her to take Rossum away. She picks him up pretty easily and carries him off, so I guess Carl Rossum, I mean, he's a small man, he must not weigh much, right? Because Randa is human after all, not a robot. We cut to Mayor Hill signing some papers at his office when somebody steps inside, and it's another Mayor Hill who takes him out with a taser. The bat signal is being shown in the sky, and Batman shows up on the GCPD roof. Barbara Gordon was the one who turned on the light. Barbara feels that someone is impersonating her father because he is so cold to her. So cold to poor, innocent, 17-year-old Barbara. She's explaining to Batman why she thinks Gordon is an imposter when suddenly Detective Bullock shows up. Bullock throws his toothpick at Batman and Batman decides to leave. Before he can leave though, he is grabbed by Bullock and Batman can't break free of his hold. Batman drops his grappling gun and Babs gets kicked by Bullock and falls next to it. Bullock suddenly throws Batman about 20 feet in the air onto another roof. Bullock then jumps to the roof with no problem. Now, this is big old tub of lard Bullock we're talking about here. Batman tries to hit Bullock with a pipe, but Bullock blocks it, takes it away, and hits Batman with a pretty hard shot to the shoulder with a metal pipe. Bullock tries to stomp Batman's head with his foot, but Babs shoots the grapple gun and grabs Bullock by the foot. Batman then decides to throw Bullock off the roof because Batman doesn't kill. Bullock falls into the bat signal and gets electrocuted in a pretty graphic scene, actually. Barbara even starts to cry because they just killed Detective Harvey Bullock. Suddenly, Bullock's corpse starts to move and a metal robot skeleton rises and tries to grab Barbara. Batman cuts the robot's head off with a batarang. Although, to be fair, I think Batman still doesn't realize it's a robot and probably would have done the same if it was normal Bullock. So, wow, Batman just got lucky that it was a robot. Or if not, he would be a cop killer. Batman tells Babs to stay at a friend's house. And we get this pretty funny exchange.
Don't go home. Stay at a friend's house.
Not so fast. How are you going to find out? I want to be there.
That's not possible. I'll contact you as soon as I know something. Please let go of my cape.
You know what? I like Babs' spirit to want to help. I hope she becomes some sort of hero one day. Because I mean, this is a young, innocent 17-year-old girl looking up to this man in his early to mid-30s. So I hope she can someday become a superhero so that she can impress him and have sex with him on the same roof where they once killed a man. Which luckily turned out to be a robot. That joke was brought to you from the movie, the animated movie, The Killing Joke. So I'm sure if you saw that, you'll get it. Bruce Wayne shows up to the Gotham Club and he is greeted by Mayor Hill. Hill tells Bruce he's about to become a member of a very exclusive club. Just doesn't sound right. Bruce walks into a dark room and he is assaulted by robot businessmen. And their eyes glow red and Bruce beats them up. He escapes to the elevator, but the robots are now weird crab spider robots, and they try to grab Bruce, who is now dressed like Batman. Batman cuts the rope on the elevator and sends the elevator crashing down several floors, destroying the robots. It's pretty graphic the way these robots die. You see their heads rolling off, their skin burning. They're going all out here. Their weird spider movements are creepy as hell, though, because they look like regular humans, but they walk around like The Exorcist, that scene where the little girl comes down the stairs crawling backwards. It's really weird, and their head spins around. It's pretty creepy. Babs is at her home talking to her teddy bear, Whoopi, and getting some supplies so she can sneak into Cybertron. Babs gets to the lab, and she reaches a keypad to enter the door. She blows some makeup powder onto the keypad, and it shows which keys have been pressed. She presses the keys in the correct order the first time and gets in. So, wow, that's insanely lucky. I guess no one ever messed up and pressed the wrong key either, and she just knew what order these buttons were pressed in. Once inside, she sneaks around and is followed by a garbage can robot. Yeah, it's a robot on wheels who is stalking Babs like if this was a Bugs Bunny cartoon. I mean, seriously, she takes like 2 steps forward and the little robot rolls behind her, and then when she turns around, it stays perfectly still. It's like Bugs Bunny. The trash can robot turns huge, and it looks like the robots from the old Superman Fleischer Brothers cartoon. And I'm sure this is like the 10th time I've mentioned those robots on this show. The robot, of course, grabs Babs. She's taken inside with Hardak, and Randa and Rossum take Babs prisoner. Batman arrives to the lab via hang glider. He loves that thing. Batman breaks into the lab, and he is in a completely dark room. He gets 2 lights shown on him, and like a total badass, he just throws 2 batarangs at the same time and destroys the lights, which turned out to be those big robots from earlier, and like blows their heads off. So awesome. The robot duplicate of Gordon, Bullock, and Rossum are holding Barbara hostage. Hardak explains the whole plot because he was programmed with the mind of a Bond villain.
What is this plan?
The plan was conceived by Carl Rossum when his young daughter was deactivated.
Deactivated? You mean...
A vehicular accident. Our maker felt the emotion called love in great quantity for her. Afterwards, he decided to find a way to replace humans, whose decisions can cost other human lives.
But we're all capable of human error.
Precisely. The Maker's concept was sound, but he did not go far enough, which is why I have taken over.
Hardak reveals the people kidnapped are being held in this weird water tank. Batman attacks the robot duplicates and tosses the Rossum robot into the water tank, breaking it and freeing the hostages. Randa tries to use her taser on Batman as she sneaks up behind them, but the Rossum robot lounges at Batman, but he moves and Randa's taser hits Rossum and blows him up, blows him and her up. Robot Gordon spider walks his way in front of Batman, and Batman throws a grenade at Hardak. Robot Gordon tries to save Hardak and he picks up the grenade, but it ends up blowing him up too. And as I said, it's all gruesome. You see eyeballs rolling and stuff like that. Gordon, Bullock, Mayor Hill, and Rossum all wake up and they start to try to get out of the building. Batman is attacked by Rhonda, who now has half of her face blown off, causing Batman to give one of the funniest facial reactions he has ever done. And if you're a member of the Facebook group, you'll see the picture there. But seriously, I think this was supposed to be the big reveal that Rhonda was a robot. I'm pretty sure we figured it out. I mentioned last week how, why did she have to wear these dumb goggles to see X-ray vision? And then I realized why, because they didn't want us to know she was a robot. So of course she would have to wear goggles to have X-ray vision, but it's very, very obvious. The hostages try to get away. Gordon gets shot in the head. He's just standing there, and then you just see something shoot him in the head. What the hell? It's the weird, cute robot that opened the door in the first episode. It's just a little yellow robot. Then Rossum just walks up to the robot and flips the off switch. So that was pretty easy. Bullock picks up the unconscious Gordon, and they all run to Rossum's office where he has an emergency exit. Barbara goes back inside to help Batman, and the rest of these men just look at her as she runs into danger. Batman is getting the crap kicked out of him by Rhonda, but she corners him in an elevator shaft. She presses the button because when the elevator comes down, it's going to crush Batman's head. He uses his own or her own momentum against her, and she lands under the elevator. Batman gets out. And then the elevator like crushes her and you see her neck snap. And once again, it's actually pretty cool. Hardak blows up and Gordon thinks that Babs is still inside. So he thinks she's dead. At that moment though, Babs and Batman walk out safe and meet up with Gordon. Batman thanks Barbara for her help. And she says that she enjoyed this, which causes Gordon to give her the stink eye. Gordon and Babs say that they're going to go home.
The end.
Alright, some after show notes on this episode. There is a commentary track by the show's creator Bruce Timm, Eric Ramdonski, and the episode's director Kevin Altieri. If you listen to the commentary, it's actually very interesting. According to the commentary, since the villains in the episode were robots and not humans, they could get away with almost anything regarding the violence. That is why Batman seems to just kill with reckless abandon in this episode. The director states that he took a lot of his inspiration for the movement of the robots, the weird crab walk, spider walk I mentioned, from an anime called Legend of the Overfiend. And that is why they move like that. I've never, personally have not seen this, so I'm not sure how accurate it is. I mean, he said it, so it must be accurate, but I mean the movements compared to the original. The original design for Rhonda was basically just a Barbie doll. But they went instead with Marilyn Monroe because Bruce Timm thought that Rhonda needed to look like the most beautiful woman in the world, and to him, that's Marilyn Monroe. Although the Barbie robot design ended up being used in an episode of Superman the Animated Series titled Obsession. It is a character named Darcy Mason, and it has quite a twist to it, so if you could watch the episode, I recommend it, and I will not ruin it for you. If you're really interested in knowing what it is, you could look it up online. Just look for the episode Obsession and read the synopsis. Fun fact, Hardak has a red lens that lights up red in the center of its console. So during many frames, the animators hit a smiley face as a fun Easter egg. The director also explains that he thought the concept of the Batwing was super silly because basically it was just a flying saucer. And that is why he had Batman hang glide everywhere in this story instead of using his plane. He mentioned that from all the episodes he directed, the Batplane was in it, like in every episode. And in this one, he just decided to go with the hang glider because he was sick of it. The commentary talks about an entire scene taken out of the episode where Batman fights a duplicate of himself. The Batman robot duplicate is the Batman robot duplicate is actually used in a later episode, which will be coming up very soon. But the spot was supposed to take place after Hardak blows up and Rhonda is destroyed. Batman is supposed to be able or try to leave the building, but he has to face this robot before the building blows up. So they cut that and decided to just make it its own episode.
To the Batmobile. Let's go. Atomic batteries to power. Turbines to speed.
Roger. Ready to move out.
This is the segment where I rank each episode that we have reviewed thus far. So far at number one, we have the episode Almost Got Him, which is where all the villains play poker and tell their best almost killed Batman stories. At number 39, we have the episode Prophecy of Doom, which is the episode where Batman fights a old man who predicts the future, but he turns out to just be a fake. That's the first and last place on the list. If you want to see the complete list, you can join our Facebook group. Look for I'm Batman, the podcast. Become part of the group. We have great members there, and you can be part of some games and contests and some of the fun posts that we have on there. This episode, where would I rank it? It's, once again, the hard part of a two-parter story, because part one was pretty slow, but it set up characters. It gave us the relationship between Gordon and Barbara, and it let us see how Batman, let us see more of Bruce Wayne than Batman, actually. So we felt more of a connection to the characters, so we could see, feel more for them on what was happening in the second part. The second part is more action. The story moves along faster because it needs to get to its conclusion. So it is a better episode than the first one. The first episode was ranked at number 26, right above The Clock King and right below Christmas with the Joker. I enjoyed this episode, although I think that the knowledge that there is a third episode, even though it's considered its own episode and not part of this story, it's still canon to this. And the episode with the duplicate Batman feels like the true conclusion to this. So knowing that, it kind of lowers this one a bit, knowing that the story will continue. The animation's great. The acting is great. It's very exciting. I watched this episode 4 times in a row to do the review, and I was not tired of it once. That's usually how my review process goes. I watch it once normally. I watch it again as I write the review. This episode I had to watch once normally, a second time with the commentary, a third time to write the review of the episode, and a fourth time to take notes on the commentary. So 4 times in a row. I was not sick of it. I still find it to be a fun episode. I believe I would probably place this around number 20. At number 19, we have Terror in the Sky, which is the Man-Bat episode where Man-Bat, his wife turns out to be the new Man-Bat. I really like that episode. I thought that episode was fun. Right below it at number 20, though, we have the episode Tiger Tiger, which is another weird sci-fi episode that was more of an homage to old sci-fi monster movies, kind of like old Frankenstein, Island of Dr. Moreau, as this one was a huge homage to old sci-fi, as I mentioned last week, things like The Earth, The Day Stood Still, or War of the Worlds, stuff like to do more with robots, you know, iRobot, stuff like that. I think this episode does, it's a really good episode. I like it. I do like it a lot more than Tiger Tiger. So I think, yeah, this episode is going to be the new number 20. So new number 20, Heart of Steel, part 2. I think that's going to be it for this week's show, everybody. Thank you for listening. And remember, if you have any questions, suggestions, or thoughts on the reviewed episodes or the show in general, send them to captain_marvelous1@yahoo.com. I have been your host, Captain Marvelous, and not a robot duplicate. I repeat, not a robot duplicate of Captain Marvelous. And remember, no matter where you're from, no matter who you are, we are robots.
You've been acting awful tough lately, smoking a lot of cigarettes lately, but inside, you're just a little baby. Oh, it's okay to say you got a weak spot. You don't always have to be on top. Attitude.